And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. And it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is January 16, 2017. And this is Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to salute everybody for Martin Luther Day. And we are going to talk about how it relates to the time that we work on. But before that, we're going to salute one of our friends that is in our beloved Greece, a country that works so hard to entertain us sometimes, but sometimes we can appreciate the power of their people. Sagri Erzadek is a non-executive board member of the Zyphrus International Company, and is also an active advisor on the GISP, it's the International Group for Security and Intelligence. Some people that you meet when you work hard to help the world, and you sometimes looks like angels, and Sagri, you are definitely one of those. Hello, Sagri, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing very fine. Thank you so much. I appreciate really much. You got your nice compliments, dear Orly.
You deserve them all. It's been a pleasure knowing you. And I know that whatever you work so hard in your life, you actually bring to the world. And I think that the world needs to listen to you. I want to start with the book that you wrote. That it influence and it is important for us to know about it and maybe to read it and maybe to get some advice from you. Tell me about it.
Yeah, sure, with pleasure. Past 2 years ago, I was wondering about the future trade routes, how it will be in fact affected to poly world politics and etc., especially after the technology development for exploring gas and oil, especially in United States, like shale gas technology, and started with some different political influences on the Middle East. So I started to look up and also to contribute this topic, which is also related with the new routes, such as polar, also connected to climate change. So I started to investigate and search on for the topic, and I think it will be a 180 pages book I have published, and it will be translated to two more languages, and it will be this new publish will be ebook, so people
now,
can
beautiful. Sagri, I want to know the subject of the book, because you were talking about it, and I know that you mentioned the Shell gas company and the technology, but what it was related to the issue of the Arctic, that's what was what the trigger all your interest.
Sure. You know, in the history, there will be, you know, during the wars between the countries, mainly when we consider the world trade is held by above the 90% over the seas. So it will be huge power to control the sea, and the sea power for the nations, especially for the United States, is incredibly important. So, but for the last 5 years, this going to be dramatically changing with the climate change, which helps the, especially in the North Pole, helps the ice melting more and more every day by day. Plus, during the spring and summertime, the ice is nearby the Russian North Shale is more rapidly slowing down, so more and more ships can travel over this pole route, let's say. It's another
Sagri, do you think that the traffic, because you mentioned that there was a lot of traffic of people are traveling there, is that something that influenced the environment? Is that disturb the environment and create some kind of a melting because of the sheep movement and all the energy that's going through that?
To be honest, not yet, because it's in the recently developing route, and mainly the route is having the way with the icebreakers, which Russia held already. So I also examined in the second phase of the book, I examined the effects of this new polar route to world politics and also economics, which will be a big challenge between Russia and the United States, and which will be related also to the rights in the Arctic region, which will be more, this topic will be more hotter during the following years, I think, even in the United Nations, maybe discussed. So, and also when we talk about today's politics, it will be a big, not challenge, but a opportunity for United States to see how, when considering that His Excellency President-elect Trump will influence on the Russian and somehow, as he said, cooperation with Russians, and how will be they will find a solution to cooperate on that, because as we know, United States has a very small quantity of icebreakers, as far as I know, no any nuclear icebreakers yet. So I discussed with this issue yesterday with some friends in the United States. They had no comment about it. Of course, it's somehow the national security topic. But when checking out the United States media, some top generals were also considering to see. It will be very interesting to see the how the President Donald Trump will be acting on this issue, if he can convert it to advantage or not. We will see.
Well, you see, I think that because it's a natural environment, it's everybody's business. It's not just the Russian or the American. It's exactly. Everybody's business. It's the world. Sometimes there is a call from nature saying we need to get our act together or else. And there is no other way but cooperation. That's what I think about all the rest of the world. This is our line in the sand to start cooperating, you know, everywhere, because we can go and blow it all up, or we can just play nice and work with everybody. Don't you think so?
I do totally agree with you, dear Orly. That's for sure. And this topic has to be such important topic, needs really cooperation between all states who are responsible, because we are responsible to against all humanity somehow. So right. I think this will be held by the cooperation in the following years. Otherwise, I cannot imagine what will how big mess will be coming up to humanity.
Now tell me, do you think that it's the gas company responsibility to manage some kind of a conference about that? Because, you know, when President Obama said that the environment is one of the biggest threat that we have, everybody were laughing because they didn't realize what he actually was talking about. But after talking to you, I realized that there are things that nobody knew about, the danger of the ice breaking and everything, even that everybody knew, but nobody knew how close and really, really dangerous it is. So do you think that the oil companies, the gas company, all the people that drill and take a lot of fast, you know, resources from the Arctic, do you think that they are responsible also to have some answers to be to and precautions to how we're going to go about or in coordination? Don't you think it's their responsibility?
I think so. You really finger out a very important topic, because it's somehow the natural resources, even belonging to some nation due to the international laws, but they are all fully responsible to all humanity or all people and all over the world, because it's something that can affect really the future of the infrastructure and the energy policies and etc. for the world economy. You can add anything on it. So the President Obama had really tried to explore, underline the importance of the topic before he's leaving the chair. So I, but I do to totally, I do, I'm sure that also President Donald Trump will be so sensitive about this issue because he's coming from the business side somehow, right? So as the advantage between the advantage of the relationship somehow, not the, let's say the relationship, but the thinking of the way to in his plans for Russia will be the, I think, the most bright issue that is a sign giving us the, there will be a huge cooperation on this issue for regarding to Arctic and the other threat possibilities on it.
All right. Do you think that other nations are should get involved, like people that are influenced by that area?
Yeah, I definitely. Frankly, already there are some nations are already involved, and there are some groups and conferences held on every year, and it's developing day by day. So the Iceland, Norway, Denmark are already on the on this issue, and really, as far as I see, and during preparing my book, I noticed that there will be there is a huge cooperation on this issue, whether the, you know, the nations are coming from. There is a huge cooperation on this issue, so it's really giving me how can I say bright future for this for that matter.
You think that it's a promising because the collaboration is exactly. Honest and good.
Very.
Productive. That's
Very.
Really awesome. That's really awesome. So tell me, do you travel there anytime soon, or you're just staying in Greece?
You, I will be visiting Norway because from my childhood I was visiting Norway. So also that inspires me to look after this issue and to check it out and start writing
nice.
The book up. Year so I will be checking out, but I haven't been to Nomursk. You know, it's the center of this how can I say that there's a harbor in Russia which is the center of these facilities nearby the Finland border, but I haven't been gone there. But the most probable next year I would like to be there to maybe attend the conference which will
yes.
be held.
That will be a really important if we can start thinking about a direction that the world needs to be, and having a conference like this will put all the players in check. I really wish you all luck. Now tell me, this GIASP company group, is that a security and intelligence? Do you mean that we're starting actually it's international cooperation? Of all groups?
This is the group. Miss Marta is the director of this group. This is a project by financing French company, and it brings the all the from the all nations the intelligence and security people, like a non-governmental organization, to create awareness against the terrorism and etc. So it's newly created for past 6 months, let's say, and it's developing day by day. They are doing
beautiful.
Great job.
Beautiful, beautiful. First of all, I want to commend you for the great job. I want to commend you for writing a book that is so proper and so important in this time of age, and I can't wait to read it. From the way you spoke about it with me and today also, we understand that this is actually the component. Yes, sir. Tell me.
I want to add something. The people who are interested in this issue for the global trade, not only for the security purposes, should be following the East very importantly, because the politics on the South China Sea, and for example today Mongolia government decided the railways, official railways decided to open a branch in the just nearby the South Korea side of the China to export their goods, because the route is coming from there, from starting from the South Korea up to sliding by the Japan and all by the way the North Russian coast and reach the Scandinavia. So people should follow these developments very, very carefully to find the, especially the corporate entities should to find a way to find a place for themselves for the future.
Of course, now I want them to know how to find you. Are you on Cyprus International? Are you? They can find you online, Zagri or Zadek,
or yeah, exactly.
We can put a link on my page so they can find you.
Yeah, LinkedIn is okay. Thank you very much.
And I really want you to keep up update with us. And it's really important because what we listening to you is another side of the map that we don't pay attention to it usually. But it's very important and we care about it. So I wanted to bless you and I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I hope that we keep on the cooperation and thank you for everything, Zagri. You are a real angel. Thank you so much, sir.
You are welcome.
God bless you.
Indeed, Anna.
Thank you, sir. Indeed. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Have a great one. Have a great one. God bless you. Have a great 2017. And we will go back. Yes, we'll get some music and we'll be back after that. All right, this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. We just had Zagri Ozadek from Greece, which was wonderful because he talked about stuff that we usually don't talk about the, you know, environmental change in the Arctic and really the danger about those melting ice that are big and huge, like a continent. And if we keep on shipping those icebreaker to melt the ice, that might create some kind of uncomfortable situation for many people. I don't know if it's the heat they say or like a climate change. It's the actually we're going and destroying a good part of nature, and it comes with the territory. It's gonna melt. So I'm sure that people will have to be concerned about it. And I'm going to let those people take care of that because it's not in my brain, thank God. It's not my area. Anyway, it's Martin Luther King today, and it's also a Religious Freedom Day. It's so proper. So proper to Jason, both of them, because it's important to understand that freedom starts with your heart, with your soul, with your belief and your being. Once your belief and your being is being rejected, your all identity collapse. And there are some people that say, you know, it's really good not to have religions at all. And actually what they're saying is they don't want to have God. That's why the Democrats lost. And if they like it or not, God won on this one. Because it started long time ago when they wanted to take God out of everywhere. They wanted to take, and actually they did. They take it out from the books in the school, the Bible. You got the most incredible book in the universe, the Bible, the almighty Bible, to teach you how to behave. What's the rule of conduct and basic stories about what is right to do. And they decided it's not good enough for school. Like they have a better understanding about humanity than 1,000 years book. Now that book was saved for a reason. That book was the manuscript for humanity. The Ten Commandments was not created to be for us to just pass by and read them and said, okay, it's actually to practice. And everybody do know what not to steal, not to lie, not to, no, actually, it's not to lie, it's not even mentioned, but, you know, like, not to lie in front, you know, a judge, definitely. Then you have not to kill, you know, don't take, you know, somebody, something that belongs to your fellow man. Believe that in God, the Creator. That was the problem. They didn't want, because they think that they are the higher, absolutely, kind of humanity. Well, somebody had to create you. You know, guys, it comes with the territory. If you are living, if you are part of this world, you must agree that you are part of the universe. Being a part of it, you can't actually deny God. And I know Spinoza, that was rejected from the Jewish faith, was not understood, because I was studying Spinoza, and Spinoza was proving mathematically why God has to exist. And all those Democrats, and I love you guys, because I've been a Democrat before, and then I turned 13. No, I'm kidding. You know, I've been a Democrat because your guys are so obnoxious that you didn't let me be a Republican in California. God forbid, the Republican for California. How could you be? Oh, in Hollywood. Oh, my God. It's never be that true. So I was a Democrat. It was playing nice, you know, going out to party. Everything was a Democrat. If not, you're outcast. Now, but it become obnoxious. I went to the East Coast, and everybody are who they want. You got in the North, you got the New Yorkers, you know, they are Democrats. You got the South, you got Republican, and all the rest can choose whatever they want. Freedom. Freedom to be. Once you want to be a free man, you have to stop. To stop, you know, pushing your mental attitude on everybody. And right now, whatever is done in Hollywood, the fact that people in the fashion industry object to serve fashion to the first lady, I think that they are so out of line. But I'm not saying out of line as far like I get offended. I'm saying, are you kidding me? To leave an opportunity like this to be at the front stage? Are you insane? To leave some effort like this unnoticed? So you think that there are no other fashion industry in the industry that will take your show? Take that? It's like somebody said, I want to sing in the Super Bowl. No, the party, you know, that play there is not my party. It's the Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl of America. This is the Super Bowl of the world. Everybody will be watching you. And you, my superstars, my hero, my actors, my models, my fashion show, everything you deny America the best. And why? Let's say it. Sore losers. It's really hard. Nothing painful from to lose. But it's more painful to be rubbed on it every other day. So you get your act together and come and play. You're American. American, don't do that. You know what? That's not American. And if you think that somebody who teach you to refuse something like that, who teach you to be obnoxious like that, is free lover, is democratic, is American, trust me, there is nothing American with your refusal to serve at the highest level possible in your life. This is one time in history that you may be called upon, and you should come to play, ma'am, sir, everybody. I am not appalled by you. I am saying, how non-smartest to refuse. I it's like, okay, you know, you get the best child in your life and you said, oh, don't come begging after for a break, not from God because you want him out, and not from anybody else because you didn't play right. So, how they say, ta-da, hasta la vista, you know? Fine, not a problem. Let's get some I got a dream. Let's listen to what somebody who was smart enough to say, Martin Luther King, before, and we still at this day don't listen to him. And he was the leader of the all group.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
All right. We are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. That was Martin Luther King, who spoke so greatly that, you know, capture everybody's attention then and still these days. He used to say the truth about what we want in life. We want freedom for everybody. And freedom means that you and I are free to do whatever we can to this world without obstructing each other, okay? You know, freedom is limited to honor, of course. Anyway, good news, guys. We have Representative Trey Gowdy joins the Intelligence Committee. Guys, our friend from South Carolina, congressman from South Carolina, is going to be on the Intelligence Committee. Hallelujah. Now, we can trust he's going to get to the bottom of everything. So whatever it is, this administration is already shown to be fantastic. This Congress is revealing to be fantastic. And I hope that this inauguration day will make everybody come to grip, and all those congressmen that decided to not show up for the inauguration to reconsider, even though it's really cold and it's a good excuse to get mad not to go. But Congressman Lewis, a man that I know, I met him, I respect him. And I met his lovely wife, and I'm sure that he's going to go above and go back on his idea of not going and come back, because Donald Trump is the man of the hour, is the man of the world, is the man that was elected to be the U.S. president, and we are all in the respect. The world is listening and watching. Please be a part of it. Please unite America, because America is the leader of the free world. And it doesn't matter what side of the bench you are sitting on, you are in America and you are one glorious nation. I don't have to remind you all that every time. But those representatives that feel intimidated by being on the outside now may reconsider. You're still the leader of the free world. So God bless you all on this. Anyway, after Martin Luther King, I think we need and deserve a song. Let's listen to some music. All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. We have some note that we want to let you listen about the story of Assange, because there have been so much talking about, you know, the Russian involvement, and I didn't say anything about it. But it wasn't the Russian, it wasn't the American, it was, you know, WikiLeaks that had everything linked out, and whoever wanted to take a use of this did. So don't even think about it. Let's listen to it. Let's listen to what it says.
Hello, welcome back. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says he'd agree to US extradition if Obama gives clemency to whistleblower Chelsea Manning. Here's Anastasia Chirkina with the details.
Julian Assange could essentially walk out of that embassy right there after all these years if the U.S. president in his very final days decides to pardon Chelsea Manning. Now, in a tweet, WikiLeaks has said, quote, if Obama grants Manning clemency, Assange will agree to U.S. extradition despite clear unconstitutionality of DOJ. Now, this, of course, would be a major development in the Manning case, who is currently serving 35 years in solitary confinement in the U.S. for providing 700,000 sensitive documents to WikiLeaks that, of course, shed lots of light on the activities of the U.S., most notably in the Iraq War. And we have to say that supporters of Manning the world over have been calling for her to be released and to be pardoned by President Obama in these final days before he steps down. And certainly we do know that Manning has carried out already two suicide attempts, so calls are becoming stronger and stronger for her to be released from prison, because for many, she is a hero for helping shed light on the information that was published by WikiLeaks. And of course, in the Assange case, this would also be a major development. He has been holed up in that embassy since June 2012, fearing leaving the embassy premises because he, of course, thinks he would be extradited to Sweden, where he is facing rape-related allegations, which he denies, and he believes he would be extradited to the U.S. for politically motivated reasons, and for good reason, of course, because even politicians like Hillary Clinton, at some point we've heard her calling for Assange to be struck by a drone, as well as calls like this from some in the political establishment.
We got special ops forces. I mean, a dead man can't leak stuff. This guy's a traitor, a treasonous, and he has broken every law of the United States. The guy ought to be, and I'm not for the death penalty, so if I'm not for the death penalty, the only way to do it, illegally shoot the son of a b-.
And although the White House, of course, indicated that a clemency for Manning is quite unlikely, now in these very, very final days, who knows, maybe in exchange for Julian Assange extradition, they would change their mind. But we'll, of course, be watching this.
All right. Well, we are back. You see, and that's troubling, because we in the media want to know the truth. Are we gonna, you know, let this pass? Are we gonna let the obstacles of the media come to life? What I'm saying is, did Assange did a favor to the world by giving us all the information? I'm not sure what it was used to. I'm not sure that it was used to anything. The only thing that it was useful for is to realize that we are not safe, we're not secure. In the beginning of time, when we all started to use the internet, we use the information that we provide free and easy. And now these days, after all of that, we can tell that we are becoming more cautious. We have a new cyber secretary in the new administration, which will be Rudy Giuliani, that I root for him. I honor him, and I think that is going to be spectacular. And we're going to use everything that we can to help him be the best secretary ever. But the useful deal with Assange is that he gave us an idea of how it's working. So let's not punish the people that actually show us our shortcoming. It's really the end of the day not conducive. We'll need him to get the grip for reality. I would say free him, free that person that gave him. I if anybody got killed on that behalf, I am not responsible for that. I'm saying that, you know, you don't do that. You can't release that person. But if now nothing happened, release them. Now, if the Democrats say that they lose the campaign because of that, I'll tell them once again, you lost because Donald Trump won. You lost because you had a very mediocre vice president choice. Nothing you can do about it. That's it. All right? So grow up. Go on. Keep on going. And please, Hillary, do not run again. Please, start to write your book. All right? Let's get another some music, and then I'm going to talk to you about the revelation of the day. Something that I revealed, and I am so honored to share it with you. And this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. I just received a letter from the Friendship Association from Jordan. And it's a letter from a Jordanian-Israeli Friendship Association. And they want to coexist. They want to work together and make a very, very nice gesture to start society, you know, to work together on and, you know, tolerance and peace, and start meetings and have a conference on something. And it's really a good reply to the Paris conference that just was held today in Paris with 42 nations that came about with no Israeli, no Palestinian, of course, to say, you guys behave or you do something like that. And then to threaten Donald Trump, the president-elect Donald Trump got threatened by saying, you don't move the embassy of America to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, if not, it's going to be a very heavy consequences. Now, first, to use that language with the elected president Donald Trump is off the line. All right, you friends, you have a very polite in your way, but it wasn't polite at all once. Second, Mr. Kerry was there instrumental in that. And I know that there is news in the background saying that they're going to indict John Kerry and else about their work and whatever they did in the last few years in their political career. They are actually instigating, fighting, slaughter, whatever. They are doing nothing to have peace. They are the one who created conflict. So that's the noise that I'm saying. I'm just repeating it. But saying that, I want to answer to my friend in the Jordan, Lawrence Awad, that sent me this letter to hold the president may come to about the following objective to purpose provide the association of Jordanian Israeli friendship. Okay, it's all the good, but let me tell you something about the Impossible Truth. The Impossible Truth is a program that tells you about the truth that you have to live with. Sometimes it's impossible that you cannot tolerate. And you cannot tolerate the ludicrous position of the people of the world condemning today, more of all days, you know, the Religious Freedom Day, condemning Israel and saying that she's holding hostage. Think about it. Her holy site, the site of God created universe given to the Jewish people and a biblical connection to Jerusalem. And we are, you know, we are the one that take control over it without rights. So all those people who don't believe in God, I think that they should get out of all the political arena because they have no space in there. If you have atheist, please go elsewhere because we don't need you around. You know, we are people of believers, people who do understand nature and life, understand that God is there. And all those who for some reason run the show do not believe in God Almighty. Oh, they are so full of themselves that they forgot that God exists. But when he kicked them out of office, how they come and beg for it. And there are some who are coming back, you know, because he gives them a second chance. We have a few examples in Israel, in America, everywhere. The truth of the matter is God gives you a second chance. But what's the second chance of the Palestinian? Let me tell you what I discovered. And we have a few minutes, and I'm gonna use the time to explain to you what I found. I was looking into the history of a very sad story that happened in Italy a few years back. I cannot reveal the story right now because I'm not going to talk about it now. But it brought me in God's way, as usual, to a special date in history. And that special date was July of 1975. Okay? I went there and I found the library of President Gerald Ford. And Gerald Ford was a very good president, so he has all his record very tight and neat, and they could go and read it. So you can go and read it. So it's not a story, okay? You go there and you find in his records a few letters that was mentioning what the meeting of King Hussein then and President Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger was talking to them about what they're going to do about the West Bank. And the first thing that you need to understand, they ask, what's the population? I'm reading the president. What is the total population of Palestinian on the West Bank? The prime minister, I think he said 750,000 Palestinians on the West Bank and 850 in the East Bank. And King Hussein says, yes, 1.5 million in the entire. Now, then he says he talks about then he's speaking about the citizenship that the King Hussein gave the Palestinian. So he's asking him, are they all Jordanian? And the king says they all Palestinian are Jordanian. Let's repeat it. From the meeting of King Hussein and President Ford, August 6, 1974, from the Ford Library, the Palestinian are Jordanian. The Jordan River is not much of a military obstacle between Jordan and Israel. It is a kind of psychological barrier between the East Bank and the Palestinian. Achieving an early disengagement for us is a test of whatever we can get involved or not. We would like to know, sir, where we stand now. If we are not to be involved, we are prepared to turn over our responsibility to the PLO and let them try to deal with the problem. Another set of issue for us is the PLO. There as always who are being a dilemma in trying to define who are the Palestinian. We have a large number of them in the country, on the East Bank and in the West Bank in our city. We have dealt with them differently from the way the Arab state have. We have granted them nationality and given those from Gaza passport so they can have an opportunity to work and even to go outside Jordan. Their children can travel to receive an education. They can go to the Gulf and work there to support their family. They need to have an identity. So the president asked, have you made them your citizen? King Hussein, yes, they are Jordanian, Secretary Kissinger, including those working in the Gulf. King Hussein, yes, most of them are our citizen. Other Palestinians, not from the West Bank and from Gaza, are left as a refugee from the Jewish area, which under UN partition plan would be Israeli. Do you understand? All those years from, we talk in 1974, that we know it on record, until now, they've been bugging Israel to give Palestinian a state when they hold a Jordanian passport. Do you understand the outrageous claim? Do you understand that they were trying to double up on the Jordanian to get more land so they can attach it to Jordan? And this Jordanian just sent me a letter to befriend. I want to befriend, but please keep your citizen out of my neck, out of the way. Now, more of that. This is one part that 8/6/1974, what a blessed day to have in memory. Then you have more to have the actual meeting from Jerusalem as King Hussein of Jordan from the meeting of August 18, 1974. Listen to that. The result, the end result, like the end game for us is to get back to 1967 borders, to return to Arab sovereignty of the Arab portion of Jerusalem. It means the Arab portion means the holy site of Israel, the Jewish people. It could then become a city of peace, blah, 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 yeah, right, with the rights to all reserve and recognize. It would not be Israeli city or Arab city exclusively, but all religion, Muslim, Christian, and Jew, like they let you worship anything but Muslim, Islam, Christianity, and Jew could meet there, and it would be a solution satisfactory for all time. In addition, listen to this. Any settlement would strongly support the principle of reciprocity for any detail on Geneva's agreement, blah, blah, blah. Now, if anybody, for example, you have a neighbor, that neighbor sending some goons around telling you, oh, you need a, we need a space of your yard, we need a space of your yard, you are sitting in my space, you're sitting in my space, you just came to town, you got this this apartment or this house. And there is somebody that said, I was there, I was there, I was there. So you said, okay, let's make a negotiation. Now, in the negotiation, you see that he doesn't hold the truth. He doesn't hold the truth. He doesn't hold the truth. At the end, you found out that the neighbor told him to get another piece so he can attach it to his. Do you understand? Those Palestinian or all Jordanian guys, get on with the plan. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and Donald Trump is going to be the new president. And Mike Pence, God bless him, too. We want you both to be strong and understandably fit to fight for the good cause of the world. God bless you all from Israel. This is Orly Benny Davis. God bless America. God bless the new elected president. We love you. We are so proud of you, sir. We are proud of America, and we want you to rock. God bless you all. Ciao, ciao.